And here's where I'm not sure if I
What's
if
that?
you open if you call the meeting to order first or if I do the opening first. That's what I
So
was
we should
asking
call the
before.
meeting to order, and then you jump into your meeting, and then we start with everything
Okay,
else. So we'll
we'll do.
get to the raised hand after we do this.
That's what happens for my not attending a meeting
It
recently. So
happens.
the time is 5:02. I will call to order the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting for November 20th, 2025. The time is 5:02.
Lovely. Welcome to the virtual meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals. A few notes before we begin. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you may reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. Board members, please use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. The chair will do their best to call on members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. Your mics will be off until you are called upon. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Applicants may use their video during the public hearing portion of their case. Applicants' video will be turned off when that portion is completed. For members of the public other than applicants, please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be shut off. And Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'll note for the record, and then we'll move on. Present tonight are board members Angela Jenkins, Cliff Goddard, David Wall. I miss anybody here looking? And myself, Peter Ostlund, as chair. We also have the zoning administrator, Katie Bannon, and city staff, Gabby Ortega, and Carrie Olson. Before I get to my introductory remarks on the process, we do have one hand raised by a registrant, James Westring. You have a question?
Yes, I'm wondering if there is a passcode for the meeting since my architect is having difficulty entering the meeting without a password.
And what is that individual's name, please?
Sarah Ponko, SP Architecture, LLC.
So they should have gotten a dedicated email when they registered to the city's website with a link to get into this meeting. In that email, there would also be the information if you needed to phone in or enter the passcode. If we need to resend it to that individual, we can do so. Gabby, do you have Sarah's email? You're muted.
I
It looks
believe
like
I
she
do.
Okay, so we can get that over to her. She just needs to keep an eye on the inbox.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll work on that. You'll have some time for that. But I'll start by some standard remarks on our process to let you know how you can register to support or oppose an agenda item. I'd remind everyone to please keep yourself muted when you're not speaking. First, if you have not done so, anybody wishing to register in support or opposition to an agenda item or wishing to speak on an agenda item must register online at cityofmadison.com/meeting registration. Registration is required for all speakers as we use that information to prepare the meeting minutes. We follow an agenda. I will call each agenda item. Katie will then give an introduction to your agenda item. When your project is called, I will call on you to speak. I will then ask you to state your name for the record, and you will have 3 minutes to describe your proposal. We ask that you describe why the variance is needed and what you have done to minimize the extent of the variance, as well as describing the rest of the proposal. The board may ask questions of you, and then I'll ask you to rejoin the audience. Those in the audience in favor of your proposal will be given an opportunity to speak, followed by those who oppose. If there are any comments in opposition, you will be given an opportunity to make rebuttal remarks and respond to any additional board questions. Public participation on the agenda item will then end. I'll close the public hearing and you will hear the board discussing the variance request, but you will not be allowed to speak or comment at that point. Approval of any motion by the board requires a majority vote of the members present here tonight. So that would be three. If you have any questions after the board's action, please contact Katie Bannon tomorrow morning. Her phone number is 608-266-4569 or email kbannon@cityofmadison.com. If you are bringing information with you tonight that was not part of the original submission, we will need a copy of it for our records. First item of business for our meeting tonight is the minutes of the September 18, 2025 meeting. And before I ask for a motion, Carrie, I see your hand is up.
I just wanted to take a moment to see if our phone caller was Sarah. I've asked you to unmute. So if you wouldn't mind giving me your first and last name so I can get you renamed with the name, hopefully that's registered. And should be asking you to unmute. There we go.
Hi, this is Sarah Ponko with SP Architecture.
Thank you. I will get you renamed. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes from the September 18th meeting? Motion by David, a second. Second by Angela. Comments, corrections, changes by any of the board members? Angela.
Chair, I believe board member Cliff Goodhart had recused himself from the vote because he was not present at the meeting.
You're right. It was Sam. I'll change that.
So, correction. Thank you.
I recused myself.
Well, you noted that you abstained.
It was Sam.
Typically, if we aren't present at a meeting, we don't vote on the minutes from that meeting.
That wasn't
has me. Been our practice. Other
that's correct. Cliff, it was not you, and that was the correction that Angela was noting. So Gabby will revise the minutes to reflect that it was not Cliff that's the recused himself. It was Sam.
Okay, thank you. I had a little bit of hard time hearing with some feedback, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. And while we're on that, as chair, I don't generally vote unless it affects the outcome of the vote, but I was not at the September meeting and therefore would be abstaining from that in any case. Any comments or corrections, board members? I did notice too on page three under review of the standards, in standard two, the third line, towards the end of that line, it says, as a thought lot, we might have really intelligent lots in town, but a through lot, I believe, is what we're looking for there.
I don't know. No, yeah, I'll change that.
And let's see. On page four, it's under item three, the first full paragraph, the last word in the second line, but it says the district has a maximum height variance of 35 feet. I'm assuming that's the maximum height limit of 35 feet.
Yep, I'll get that changed.
Did you find that one, Gabby? Okay. And on page five, standard six, second to the bottom line in that paragraph, reference, it says the historic committee approved a design. That would be our landmarks committee. Since the item was in a landmark or a historic district, the landmarks commission reviews all of those variances prior to them coming to us. Is there any opposition to approving the motion to amend the minutes as edited? As it by unanimous vote? Seeing none, minutes are approved. We'll move on to our next item, which is public comment. This is a chance for persons to comment on anything that's not actually on our agenda tonight. I don't believe we have anyone registered for this. Is that the case, Gabby? Okay, no one registered.
Sorry, not for the public comment.
Okay. Gabby, I was unable to get a copy of the registrant list. So when we get to that, I would just ask you to help me out with that rather than try to find it on another screen or my phone. Since I'm not as technically adept tonight as some nights. Disclosures and recusals. Do any board members have disclosures or recusals to announce? I will make one disclosure. The representative for the applicant on item number three, James Westring, and I, we are acquainted, and in fact, back more years than I care to remember. He was actually an employee, I believe, for a summer for my contracting company and spent some time with us there, but has gone on to bigger and better things. Good for him.
Yeah, and
with that.
Sorry, and I dropped my.
He was going to mention that he dropped his hammer down a balloon framed wall while we were on that project and asked me what to do. And I said, there's more in the truck. And off we went. We'll move on to our first variance request, Legistar number 90746, Terrence Gregory Blake and Yao Yang Zong, owners of the property at 18 Powers Avenue, request a side yard setback variance for a second story addition to a single family house in Alder District 15. Katie, could you give us an overview of this request, please?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Share my screen. Okay, if this application looks similar, it's because in December 2024, the Zoning Board of Appeals approved a variance for a second story addition at this location, 18 Powers Avenue. At that time, an attached ADU was planned, so a second-story addition to put another unit on the top of the existing one-story single-family house. That was proposed to be 26 feet tall. What's proposed today is instead to build a second-story addition to the single-family house, so not an ADU, just an addition to the existing house for that unit, and an additional foot in height, 27 feet. Otherwise, it's a very similar request. So it's a one-story house today, single family that's located within the side yard setback. A 4-foot side yard setback is required. And what's proposed is a 3-foot setback for a 1-foot variance. You can see that area indicated here in yellow. There's also elevation drawings that show the proposed height and an adjacent house. Existing floor plan where there are virtually no changes except for adding some stairs to that second story. And the second story floor plan here. I don't know how much of a lag time I'm getting here, but I'll give a moment. Make sure that gets captured. Here are some more elevation drawings showing what's proposed. The applicant also included, or I'm sorry, that's the existing. Also included existing proposed, sorry. Some photographs here, and hopefully a little slow loading. zoom out a little bit here. Give a moment. Okay, so the house that's part of this variance request is here on the right-hand side of the screen. Sorry about that. This is the backyard, so you can see the rear of the house kind of on the right-hand side and the existing detached garage on the left-hand side. This is the house here right in the center where the variance is proposed. The view from the back of the house looking towards the street. And this is the side of the house where the side setback variance is requested. And then the neighboring property is on the right here. I'll also share some photographs I took of the property. If I can. Okay, here we go. So this is the view from the front east elevation and the variance here, kind of on the right-hand side proposed for that second story addition. And I'm sorry, I lost my window. Here we go. Moving along to the other side of the house, the south side elevation here. This is the view of the backyard looking towards the existing detached garage in the backyard. A view of the rear, looking towards the street, variance requested on the left-hand side. Another view of that. Just getting a little closer, moving towards the street here. And this is the view, from the front, so the variance here on the right-hand side. So that's the variance request before you tonight.
Thank you. Gabby, I see we have the applicants here. Could you read their names and address into the record for me, please?
Sure. Previously, I think you had them do that, but I can. Just from the registrant's report, I have Terrence Gregory Blake, 230 Wabiso Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53704.
Thank you. Hey, Terrence, and I'm sorry, your name's not on screen and I misplaced it. Now, could you introduce yourselves for the record, please?
Hi everyone. My name is Yu Yang. I'm the his wife.
We do only have one registrant for this item. So,
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All
And
right.
that's Terrence.
I'm Terrence Gregory Blake. Hello.
Okay. Thank you. You'll have 3 minutes to describe your proposal, why it's necessary, and what you've done to minimize it.
Okay. I think some of you overlapped to last year. I was kind of assuming we were going to have the same people, so I wasn't sure if it was going to be a review or redundant. So with the variance that we got approval for last year, we've kept the exact same shell, except for it got a foot taller just based on the size of the trusses for the roof. And so we wanted to keep that same footprint of the house, and the only difference is we were going to make it into keep it as a single family house rather than expand it into a two flat. We decided that more space was more important than the ADU, and we could possibly look at an ADU where the garage is in the future instead of over the house. Sorry, I've lost track of myself already here. The trees in the backyard are very mature. We have 100-year-old trees that are 7 feet in diameter, and we didn't we looked into going backwards towards the back of the property, although there is plenty of room, because the tree is so big and the roots are so well established. It was either tear down that tree or go straight up instead. So that was the reason that we wanted to go straight up with the house. And in addition, since the house is already at the 3 foot property mark and the roof was fairly steep, we're only gaining about 5 feet in height in the change of
You,
the
sorry, you do
profile of
have
the house.
1 minute left.
Oh, okay. I hope I'm mostly through it. And so the main goal started off to be to repair the failed roof because the house was in rough condition, but it turned into putting a second floor on in order to use the size of the house appropriately and to expand for our needs. Let's see. And we talked to the neighbors and we've gotten to know everybody around there, and nobody seems to have a problem with it. They all seem to be happy that the house is being brought up to today's, standards, and will bring the value of the neighborhood up. So I'm sorry if I rushed through it, but since I did this once before, I'm maybe ahead of myself. All right.
Okay, thank you. Questions from board members for the applicant? David.
Oh, I guess this is a question for Katie. Katie, w this came back before us because of the additional height and has nothing to do with the ADU, does it?
When someone's changing a use also, that may have been part of the consideration, so it does need to come back typically. It's kind of case by case, but in this particular one, we thought that it was not consistent with what had been approved and was beyond what staff could say, oh, yes, this is basically the same variance, even though obviously it's very similar.
If there was no physical variance, but somebody was simply adding an ADU, would that come before us? Do you know? Like if the construction did not require variance, but it was going to be, like I think the applicant mentioned, possibly in the future putting an ADU over a garage. Is an ADU kick require a variance, and or is that an allowed use?
No, it's a permitted use in all residential zoning districts that meet certain requirements. So they only be coming before you with an accessory dwelling unit request if there was some kind of variance needed to something in the zoning code.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Because this is a different variance than the one that we approved before, we will be reviewing it in the same process that we use for every variance. So we'll go through the standards here at some point. Other questions for the applicant? Angela.
Chair, I just want to get confirmation and clarification on that comment there, in that the what's before us tonight is essentially the variance request for the height and not necessarily the permitted use of these addition, correct?
No, both items are with us tonight. It's not the use, but it's the volume on the side as well as the height. There's two variants requested here. So both of those are under consideration. The use of the property is not, there's no request for a variance on the use.
Very
And
quickly, Chair,
Katie.
can I provide a correction there? The height has changed from the original request from 26 feet to 27 feet, but the maximum height in the district is 35 feet, so they are below the maximum. We
Oh,
don't need to
okay.
consider the height. It's more just, that's sometimes a consideration, the addition of height within a setback when a setback
Okay,
variance
so
is
this is
requested.
really the change from the last approval or the last case. Rather.
Yeah, it's reviewed anew because it's a new variance request. So as the chair was saying, we still have to go through all the standards and consider them and make a decision independent of what occurred before, as something new, in addition to a single family house located within the side yard setback.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant? Cliff.
Yes, looking at the photographs from the front and the rear that Katie presented, I was just I noticed that the neighbor's house to the right, as you're facing your house, they they step their second story in from the outside walls in the first floor. And I'm just wondering why you are not able to do that, at least on the side where you're requesting the variance.
Yes. So their house, I can only do a little bit of assumption here. Their house had an existing roof line that was tall enough to dormer it out. So what they did was they kept the existing roof and then they dormered later. So the dormer doesn't go all the way to the side of the house, although it could have because their house is 4 feet away from their property line. They did that for either aesthetic or maybe structural reasons. With this house, the roof peak was too low in order to have enough insulation and enough floor support. It may have been that back when they did theirs, for example, a 2x6 or a 2x8 floor was enough. Now we need to do 2x10s, and the roof line needs almost a foot of insulation. So by the time you do that, the space becomes too small to actually get anything usable out of. So it ended up being that tearing off the entire roof and starting over was the only reasonable way to make that function.
Okay, but since you're doing a completely new roof, could it not have been designed with a second story inset? Kind of like what you're saying, it's a very, very, very wide dormer. Since everything was being engineered, looks like every from the photos and from the drawings, it looks like the second floor roof is completely re-engineered. Why you weren't able to accomplish that?
I went with a simple clean roof line that wouldn't develop like snow loads and where the leaves would jam up and things like that. And at that point, tearing the entire roof off, it seems the straight up answer seemed to be the cleanest one.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from board members? David.
You might have answered this, but I'm just wondering how it came about that it was a foot higher than we approved.
Yes. In researching the roof trusses, there's a newer design that's called a high efficiency heel, where instead of the roof coming down as just a triangle, it has about a 1 foot step up. And what that does, it allows the insulation in the attic not to get squished down right at the edge and cause ice dams. So the roof truss is a 412 pitch, so that gets a foot taller. I didn't want to lower it to a 312 pitch because of the Madison snow loads. I've dealt with a 312 pitch before and it always seemed to be problematic.
Thank you.
Other questions for the applicant? Seeing none, thank you. Gabby, do we have anybody else registered on this item?
Not to speak.
Okay. In that case, I'll close the public hearing. Do we have registered in support or opposition on this item?
Sorry, I lost my window. Yes, we have one in support, does not want to speak.
If you could read the name and address into the record for us, please.
Nicholas B. Davies, 3717 Richard Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53714.
Thank you. All right, now it's time for board discussion. We'll review the standards. Standard one, there are conditions unique to the property of the applicant that do not apply generally to other properties in the district. Angela.
Actually, Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Oh, that's true. We need a motion, then we can talk about it. Thank you. I knew something was wrong, but I was having troubles getting everything sorted out here. Is there a motion on this item? And Angela, thank you. And a second by David. I see now, Angela, why you got the meeting done so quickly last month in my absence. All right, so we have a motion to approve the request for a variance. We'll go on to the standards then. There are conditions unique to the property of the applicant that do not apply generally to other properties in the district. David.
Yeah, the condition for this property that is unique is that the existing house is actually sited within that setback, the original house.
Thank you. Other comments on standard one? Seeing none, we'll move on to standard two. The variance is not contrary to the spirit, purpose, and intent of the regulations in the zoning code, and it's not contrary to the public interest. David.
Oh.
Your hand was still up if you want to.
I guess my hand. Okay. I can take a crack at it. You know, the side yard setback is designed to create buffering between properties. In this case, it's a fairly minimal addition of bulk. We have a foot going in and then an additional roughly 5 feet of height. So it will, it really does not affect greatly the buffering between those two properties.
Thank you. Other comments on standard two? Standard three, for an area variance, compliance with the strict letter of the ordinance would unreasonably prevent use of the property for a permitted purpose or would render compliance with the ordinance unnecessarily burdensome. We'd like to at least get us started on this one. David, you're up again.
Sorry to hog the time here, but this is the case. We've seen many of these where the existing footprint of the house is already in the setback. And when you're creating a second floor over an existing footprint, it is fairly burdensome to try to make a design that is both aesthetically and cost effective to somehow set it back from within those exterior, the footprint of the original house.
Yes, there are some structural challenges to trying to make that inset wall work as opposed to setting it on the existing wall and foundation. Other comments from board members? Seeing none, we'll move on to standard four. The alleged difficulty or hardship is created by the terms of the ordinance rather than by a person who has a present interest in the property. Angela.
I'll take a stab at this to sort of cite board member David. I think the structural difficulties to comply with the code would be challenging from a structural and also from a design aesthetic component. And to also further cite the fact that the original footprint and the location of or the house in general had already been in the non-compliant, as in it's already situated on the setback.
Thank you. Other comments from the board? We'll move on to standard five. The proposed variance shall not create substantial detriment to adjacent property. David.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it definitely is adding some bulk on the second floor for sure that didn't exist. But it, again, I think it's minimal. And I think that overall, the design and the minimal intrusion into that space really will not affect greatly or much at all the neighboring property.
Thank you. Any other comments on standard five? Standard six, the proposed variance shall be compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood. Angela.
I live near the neighborhood and frequent it on my daily commute. And I think that the addition, it's really keeping in line with other homes going through rehab or renovations and enhancements in the area. So in that sense, it is compatible with really the perhaps the changing landscape of the neighborhood in general.
Thank you. Anyone else on standard six? Seeing no further comments, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote to approve the variance request of this item? Seeing none, we'll record a unanimous vote to approve. Good luck on the rest of your construction. That will move us on to the next item on the agenda. Registrar 90748, James Westring, representative of the owner of the property at 2654 Union Street, requests a front yard setback variance for an addition to a single family house in Alder District 15. Katie, if you'd give us an overview of this request, please.
I'm sorry, me?
No, it's Kate comes first here.
Nope, oh, nope, okay. I'll start here. Just take a minute to get it in place. And then find the share. Okay. Yeah, I think it's loading. Here we go. Okay, the variance request before you tonight is for a front yard setback variance for an addition to a single family house. On the right hand side here is the existing condition, and on the left hand side is what's proposed. Zoom in here a little bit. So you can see here the 14 foot 1 inch front yard setback is indicated on the plans here, and you can see that the existing house is located within the front setback. So there's an existing enclosed porch within the front setback, as well as a portion of the existing one-story house. It's an existing one-story house with an unfinished attic. And what's proposed is to remove that existing enclosed porch on the front of the property and replace it with the same footprint within the front yard setback, and to also add a second story addition in that setback. And I'm sorry, this line is a little bit off. You should be looking at this pink kind of dotted line here for which portion of that second story addition here is proposed to be located within the front yard setback of the property. Moving along. So the front yard setback here was determined based on front yard setback averaging, and there's some information here from the applicant showing photographs of the properties on this quite long block face that had to be used here to determine what the front yard setback average requirement would be. So you can see East Washington here. We don't include the houses that are facing East Washington as their front. The subject property is here, kind of mid-block. There's what used to be a right-of-way, this North Lawn Avenue, that was vacated and added to the two properties on either side here. It's now a pedestrian and bike connection to another street. So what used to be two blocks is now combined as one block. So this part of the block as well, part of the same block, also included in the front setback averaging. Hopefully I'm not moving too quickly to be showing these things. The applicant also provided all of the front setbacks of the properties on this block face, what was used to determine that 14 foot 1 inch required front yard setback. And you can see also, and I have a little bit of information, I believe, about this too, I can share that the properties on the western half of the lot tend to have closer side front yard setbacks than the properties on the east side of the block. There's some additional information here. Existing basement, existing first floor plan. You can see that enclosed porch as it exists today. Currently, I'm a one bed, one bath house. Level two existing, here's that unfinished attic space that exists today. Here's elevations that show the existing house. Here's that front with the enclosed front porch. Okay, and here's the first floor plan for what's proposed. A new construction enclosed porch. Well, some steps. Steps are not don't need a variance. And then here's the proposed second floor with a bedroom and storage space. Elevation drawings to show what the proposed looks like. I'll zoom in here on the front. See the proposed enclosed porch and the second story addition, that a portion of that is also proposed within the front setback. Any other things to share here? Next, I will share some photographs and also briefly share just the plats from the property so you can see what these used to be, two separate subdivision plats. Give a minute to load here. Okay. Okay. Go. Okay, so here's the plat for the subdivision that the subject property, 2654 Union Street, was originally part of, this lot 22, so Union Street. And then I mentioned there's that North Lawn Avenue. This is the neighboring subdivision. So North Lawn Avenue again, and Union Street right here. Next, I will share photographs. Check the property. Get a feel for what it looks like today. Okay, well, it's now loaded here for you. This is the front south elevation and the east side elevation. You can see that enclosed existing front porch and the second story, which is just an unfinished attic today as it exists, but where the variance will be on that second floor. Moving around to the west side elevation. And then the west side elevation looking towards Union Street. This is the view from the rear, looking again towards the street, north rear elevation. Moving around to the other side of the existing single family house, the east side. This is an aerial photo, just to kind of explain again that pattern that we're seeing on this block, subject property. Outlined in red here, that right of way that was vacated and made a part of these two properties and is now just a pedestrian and bike path connection. And again, you can see that full block face. So East Washington all the way here on the left. Here are some photographs, kind of the existing area, vacated North Lawn Street, now the bike ped access. Zoomed in photo of the western half of the block versus the eastern half of the block. Here's some photographs of properties on the west of the applicant's property. Get an idea of their setbacks and architecture. And two more on that half of the block face. And here's some photographs of the eastern half of the block face. Their architecture and setbacks. And last house. And now back at the applicant property. Again, closed front porch and second story addition for a front yard setback variance. And that is the request before you today. Fear, if you're trying to talk, you're muted.
Gabby, we have the representative of the owner here and the owner, I believe. Who do we have registered to speak on this item?
Our speaker is James R. Westring, 4617 Dovetail Drive, Suite 8, Madison, Wisconsin, 53704.
Okay, and he's and the we only.
We only have a couple people that are available to answer questions, and then we have a couple people in support that don't want to speak.
Okay, well, we'll get speaker up first. James, if you could join us and state your name for the record, please.
My name is James Westring.
And was Katie's explanation of the variance request accurate?
Yes.
Thank you. So you'll have 3 minutes to speak. As I stated before, we ask that you state why the variance is necessary and what has been done to reduce the extent of the variance.
Okay, we are requesting a variance to construct a second story addition at 2654 Union Street. Includes the rebuilding of the front porch. The property's current setback non-compliance resulted from the city's administrative decision to merge two city blocks or two separate blocks after a street closure and then average the setback requirements, a methodology that created artificial standards that no property on the original block can meet. Our proposal maintains the established streetscape rhythm, aligns with the neighboring home setbacks, and rebuilds the front porch as a character-defining feature that supports the neighborhood's walkable, community-oriented identity. We're asking for this variance because the hardship was created entirely by regulatory interpretation rather than any action by current or previous property owners. And because strict compliance would actually, I guess you can say, harm the neighborhood character by making this home an anomaly rather than maintaining its architectural consistency with the surrounding homes. Does that satisfy that so far?
Okay. You have time if you have more comments, but we can stop there. That's fine too.
I think that's in a nutshell.
Okay. Thank you. Katie, you put your hand up to Sarah.
Yeah, I did just want to correct something for the record. I did look at front setback averaging and what if we just included the western half of the block, what setback would be required. The area west of the former North Lawn Avenue, and the average would still be 9.89 feet required as a front setback, or 10 feet. So a variance would still be required even if these were two separate blocks today.
And for calculating that, do you use the entire block or a certain number of properties on either side? How is that done on this?
We use the entire block, but I just did want to correct that I did look at even, and I would have included in my staff report if it were true that a 10-foot setback would be required, even if we just had the western half of the block as its own block, which it is not today. It's just one single long block, sure, as I explained.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions for the speaker? David.
Yes, James. The porch is being simply rebuilt and is the same footprint location as the existing porch. Is that correct?
Affirmative.
And then I have a question for Katie. So if they were simply just rebuilding that porch, tore it off and rebuilt it, they're still within the setback, is that correct, and would require a variance?
Are you asking if they weren't doing the second story addition, would it still be a variance? Yes, anytime you're doing new construction like this, where everything's being removed, you're not doing a repair, it's expected that, or it's not expected, the zoning code requires you to be in compliance or get a zoning variance.
And then, so if they were demolishing everything, and we're going to build a brand new house, they would have to be at that 14.1 foot dotted line on your diagram, or on the diagram you showed. Is that correct?
Yes, but also in this case where they're building new construction within the setback, an addition is what I mean by new construction. Not, it doesn't have to be a brand new house, but any addition. New construction also has to meet setbacks.
It sounds like any new construction utilizing existing footprint requires a variance.
It's the same footprint, but they are removing everything. It's not a repair, right? So they could be replacing windows or things like that. Yep. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. Thank you.
Other questions for the applicant? Cliff.
I have a question for Katie.
Sure.
I noticed in the staff report that you recommended approval of the variance request. I'm just curious, these are very deep lots. This one's, I think, 130 feet or so. Why you did not recommend to the applicant that they make use of the space toward the rear of the lot for the expansion rather than in the front setback?
Yeah, it was something I discussed with the applicant. I think as I looked at the neighborhood, really having some kind of front porch feature, whether it's enclosed or some kind of stoop, is really kind of a dominant thing. And there's no way to do that of any size with the existing house already located in the setback without requiring a front yard setback. You know, whether the porch needs to be exactly this size, I don't know. But I did think, gosh, it is a little bit different than maybe a room addition. And then looking at doing a second story, it seemed, and maybe the applicant can fill in some more details here, it sounded like it would be structurally difficult to just kind of like inset a small portion of their second story addition. So then, you know, but I guess that could potentially be an option.
Yeah, I mean the second story part of it is pretty obvious, but I was curious more about the enclosed porch. And so you're saying it you took in the sort of the pattern of use of that block into consideration that wanting a front porch was something that it sort of justifies a variance request because obviously you can't put a front porch in the back of the house.
Yes, that was some of my thinking that went into it, but of course, you know, the board may have different thoughts.
Okay, thank you.
And Cliff, part of our history here, if they were just coming and wanted to rebuild a front porch where it is, and the conditions of the porch were such that it re the foundation was crumbling and the structure was not sound, and they were already in a setback like this. We certainly have been open to granting variances in that sort of a situation. I don't want to say we always do, but that we have done that in the past, given the conditions there and where the board felt the standards were met because of the existing conditions and the need, you know, the typical need for a front porch in a block like this, or typical all the buildings having them.
Yeah, I found it interesting that on the west side of the block, where there is more substantial adherence to the front setbacks, those lots are also not as deep. And so that I was just wondering if you know we set a precedent now of utilizing the depth of the lot as time goes on and these porch, as you look down the block, these are all, they all look like they're additions, these front porch additions. And then they ultimately get enclosed because these are very, very small houses. And so I was just trying to understand some of the rationale beyond just the math. And that is the pattern of use and the request for a front porch.
Yes, and I suspect the two subdivisions were created and the homes were built in somewhat different time periods and perhaps with different zoning requirements, which since there seems to be a stark differential when you get from one end of the block to the other. Other questions for the applicant? Angela.
Thanks, Chair. I just like to hear from the applicant if other considerations, design placement for the additions have been considered. And what were they?
I would actually like Sarah to answer that, who is registered to attend, but to speak if requested.
Certainly. Sarah, if you could unmute yourself and state your name for the record, please.
This is Sarah Ponko.
Thank you, and your role in this project?
I'm the architect.
Thank you. Just to give the board members a reference here. Did you catch the question?
The question was whether we had considered expanding or making an addition towards the back of the owner's house rather than to go vertically up. And primarily for economy, we explored going up rather than going back. As many of us would be aware, concrete work is expensive. And so we were really trying to capitalize on an existing foundation that structurally could accommodate a second floor rather than adding a frost wall or a full depth basement. And that's our primary reason for not exploring going back towards the back lot line. It was economy.
Okay. So really that would you then say that that has been the only factor in consideration or not consideration of alternate placements of the addition?
I could
Well,
answer that.
I wouldn't say it was the only factor. Additionally, we are trying to do an addition that is architecturally sensitive to the neighborhood. And if you look at the photos of the houses that have been provided, most of those houses are one or one and a half or two-story houses that have very compact footprints. In fact, if you look at the site map or the street map, you can see none of these houses have expanded towards the back line. They really have, if they've expanded, they've gone up. And so we were trying to also adhere to the architectural character and the scale, the volumetric scale of the existing homes.
Okay, I guess, thank you. Maybe, I don't know, I'll share with the board members some of my rationale thinking process behind my questioning here. It's really looking at standards 3 and 4, whereas really on the difficulty and the hardship, being on the code rather than the present interests of the owners, which I'm not
Angela,
sure
I
if that has
believe
been satisfied.
the representative has thoughts he would like to share with you on that, if you'd like to hear them.
Sure.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, so the other part was that there's a structure behind the back of the house. There's a like a one story or an appendage to the back of the house, as well as a deck. And that would have to have been removed and put back further. And in so doing, would add additional costs to move all that back over there, further back, and also to what Sarah said with respect to scale and continuity with the surrounding properties.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions for the registrants that we've heard from at this point? Gabby, you noted that we have at least one registrant available to answer questions. Could you read that applicant's name into the record, please?
Sure. What is Sarah? Should I read out the address?
Sarah, who just spoke? Yeah,
Yes.
for the record, do that, please. And then.
Sarah Ponko, I believe, 4314 Ave, Madison, Wisconsin, 53716.
Okay. And the other registrants are just in support or opposition, not wishing to speak or answer
There's
questions.
one more that is available to answer questions.
Could you read that registrant's name and address into the record, please.
Sure, it's Adam Nunez or Nunez, 2654 Union Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53405.
All right.
And then there's two that are just in support and do not wish to speak.
Okay. Adam Nunes is the owner of the property, and he is also available to answer questions if board members have any questions for the owner of the property. If not, now, Gabby, if you'd read the rest of the registrants in support or opposition of this item, please.
Sure. Carolina M. Sullivan, 54617 Dove Trail Drive, Unit 8, Madison, Wisconsin, 53704. And then Nicholas B. Davies, 3717 Richard Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53714.
And they're both in support?
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions for staff or the registrants who are wishing to speak? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and we'll be ready for a motion when there is one. David.
I move to approve.
Thank you. Is there a second? Angela, thank you. All right. We'll head into the standards. Number one, there are conditions unique to the property of the applicant that do not apply generally to other properties in the district. David.
Yes, I think what is unique is that this house and porch are already 6 feet 8 inches into the setback. Now, when we look at these numbers, the requested variance of 7.3, that seems pretty significant. However, I don't see it as significant simply because of the fact that we're already, excuse me, looking at a home that is 6 feet 8 inches in the existing setback.
Thank you. Other comments on standard one? We'll move to standard two. The variance is not contrary to the spirit, purpose, and intent of the regulations in the zoning district and is not contrary to the public interest. Cliff.
Okay, given that the front yard setback is intended to provide buffering between the buildings and the adjacent streets and sidewalks and resulting in a uniform orientation of the buildings to the street, I would state that the proposed addition appears to result in a development that's consistent with the purpose of the zoning district.
Thank you. Other comments on standard two? Standard three, for an area variance, compliance with the strict letter of the ordinance would unreasonably prevent use of the property for a permitted purpose or would render compliance with the ordinance unnecessarily burdensome. David.
I think as the applicant pointed out, and as somebody who just spent an exorbitant amount of money on a renovation, I can confirm that adding an addition with all of the concrete work and all of that that is involved is extremely, extremely expensive and very difficult. And I think in this case, you know, we just approved an ordinance or a variance very similar to the one right before this, where we're basically building right on the existing plane of the house and using the existing foundation for supports that, in my opinion, it does make sense to approve this condition.
Thank you.
Or that, I'm sorry, that it would definitely be an extreme expense and burden to try to do anything other than what's proposed.
You're finding it to be unnecessarily burdensome to make the changes to avoid the variances.
Correct.
Just to paraphrase you. Thank you. Anyone else on standard three? Cliff.
Yeah, I would add to that that while there is space in the rear of the lot to add a building addition, requiring a front porch to be within the front yard setback would require significant alteration to the existing building, being, I think, overly burdensome to achieve that function at that location.
I think you may have misspoke. You were intending that creating something without the front porch in the setback would be unnecessarily burdensome.
I would say if they wanted a front porch within the setback, or I'm sorry, a front porch that complied with the setback,
yes,
the zoning setback, would require them to modify the interior of the first floor significantly to the point where it would be unnecessarily burdensome.
Yes, I thought that's what I heard, but I don't think your wording was quite there the first time. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Other comments on standard three? We'll move on to standard four. The alleged difficulty or hardship is created by the terms of the ordinance rather than by a person who has a present interest in the property. David, thank you.
Yes, this is common. We see in these old neighborhoods, these old homes, that they sit in these locations and the codes change around them. And this is a case where the code changed and all of the houses are already there. So it would be, it's the changing of the codes that's the issue.
Thank you. Other comments on standard four? Standard five, the proposed variance shall not create substantial detriment to adjacent property. Left.
Okay. Replacing the front porch would introduce little impact above the existing bulk relationship between this building and the buildings on adjacent lots. And with regard to the second story addition, it is minimally within the front setback, and it appears it would not cause any substantial detriment.
Thank you. Anyone else on standard five? Standard six, the proposed variance shall be compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood. David.
Yes, I think the developer and the architect and the homeowner did a good job with the design of this second story. I don't know if that's called, I guess it would be called a second story, but the fact that it's not as much bulk and they're using a dormer like the original property had, and like the style of the houses around it, I think they did a good job. And I also want to comment that, you know, most of the backsides of all of these houses are preserved, and the by going up, they're preserving a backyard space, which I know a lot of people in these older downtown neighborhoods, they really enjoy. The lots are so small that you kind of think of everybody's backyard as your kid's playground or whatever, but it's a larger open space. So I think that I think they're spot on with how this house will fit into that neighborhood and that this proposal.
Any other comments on standard six? Seeing none, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote of approval for this variance request? Seeing no objections, we'll record it as such. Thank you to the applicant and registrants for coming. We'll move on to the next item on our agenda. This is Registrar 90749, a review of the elected and appointed official code of conduct. This is something that the city is asking all boards, commissions, and committees to look at on a regular basis. This is something that's in the city files that you can look up. It's about 2 pages long. It's just kind of describing what would be proper attitudes and behavior in city events, meetings, or otherwise, noting that bullying, harassment, and discrimination are inappropriate, as well as sexual harassment being inappropriate, and lays out a process for reporting on those sorts of items. I'd encourage board members to take a look at that. And it applies to all of us in anything we do here on the board, as well as anything you might do otherwise in activities related to the city. So we have that one. The next item
I've
is
shared this on the screen. Sorry, I've shared it on the screen as well, and we'll send a link to board members too, so you can read it kind of at your leisure because it is kind of long, and we didn't want to re necessarily read it to you probably tonight.
yes. I was just trying to put a synopsis together there. Anybody with questions on that before I should at least allow you to. If there's any uncertainty there. Otherwise, we'll move on to communications and announcements.
So we do have one case for next month. Would love to see you there. I think that's all I've got.
Okay, what's the date of our December meeting?
Is
We probably all have that, but.
That's okay. It's the 18th of December.
Okay. So we plan to be back together again in December.
Yes, and maybe in the meantime, I don't know, Gabby, have you shared the 2026 meeting dates with the board? If not, we will share those with you so
I
you
will
can put
send
them
those
on your
out.
calendar now.
All right. Those are available now. Thank you for that.
I just
Any
wanted to
other
thank
tweets?
people for I am not in my usual setup, so I do apologize for sort of my weird setup. So I apologize for any weird things that you may experience. I don't have my normal mouse or anything, so my bad on a couple of things this evening.
I'm glad to have company in that department of struggling with technology tonight.
We didn't notice hers.
Ah, all right. Is there a motion to adjourn? Motion by David, second by Angela, and at 6:28, we'll approve unless there's some objection, which will be dismissed by the chair. We're off. Thank you all.
Thank you,
Thank
Peter.
you.
Good seeing you. Thank you very much, Board of Appeals.
Bye.